This final Sunday, as we focus on these three words, you belong here. This week, I was reminded of a book that I read several years ago. And if you've never heard of it, it's okay. It was Mississippi famous for about a week. And it was a book entitled In the Sanctuary of Outcasts by a man named Neil White. And it was an autobiography, a memoir of sorts, of Neil's life and a profound experience that shaped his view on what it meant to belong. Neil tells a story that as a young man, he dreamed of being wealthy and famous, don't we all, right? And he achieved it. He was, at one point in his life, a successful publisher and had several different magazines, Coast Living, Coast Business Journal, even had the New Orleans Journal, a magazine there. He had really made it. He was successful. He was not only wealthy, but he was generous. He gave money to his friends. He never expected to get paid back. He gave generously to his church. He had a great house, wonderful family, beautiful wife, and 2.5 kids, right? The American dream was his, except it was all a lie, because he wasn't actually wealthy. His businesses actually didn't make any money. He just managed to figure out a loophole between banks in Hancock County where he could move money around and write bad checks, and it was all a shell game. And it all worked fine until it stopped working. And the FBI, after an investigation, discovered his fraud, his check fraud, his financial fraud, and sent him to prison for 18 months. Except he didn't go to a normal prison. Now, he writes that as he was preparing to go to prison, he was embarrassed and he felt guilt. He felt bad for deceiving his friends. He felt upset that he had let his employees down. But he said, "Before I went to prison, I never felt repentant. I just was embarrassed at having gotten caught." And so he was sent to a prison in Carville, Louisiana. But this prison was different than what you might imagine federal prison for being, because Carville began its life as a plantation home along the Mississippi River. And after the war and into the 1900s, it became a national colony home for people suffering from leprosy. And leprosy is and was a disease which impacted people's immune systems. It created a skin condition, and people were very afraid of it. In fact, as you read the Bible, leprosy is often referred to as a disease of uncleanliness. And so Carville became a home for people who the nation mandated would have to leave their communities because of fears of spreading this disease. And so for decades, people were cast out of their homes and their communities from around the nation and sent to Carville, Louisiana, to live the rest of their life as outcasts. By the 1990s, because of our new understanding of science and medicine and greater understanding of what's actually Hansen's disease, what we think of as leprosy, people were no longer forced into these nursing homes and colonies. But for many of the residents of Carville, Louisiana, they had spent their entire life in this place. And so even though they could leave, where would they go? this was their home. This was their family. But there weren't as many as there used to be, and in order to make ends meet, the leper home sold off or rented out part of its facility to the Bureau of Prisons and converted part of this old plantation home into a minimum security prison where low-level, non-violent offenders would go and serve their time. And it's here that Neil was sent for his 18-month prison sentence. Two sets of outcasts. One group shunned by a disease they did not choose, and one group cast out for the crimes they committed. No one wanting them. Groups that didn't belong anywhere else. So Neil writes in his memoir, The Sanctuary of Outcasts, that he was afraid when he found out where he was going. And at first, he didn't want to have anything to do with the residents of this facility, who could come and go as they pleased around the facility. But he said over the months, something changed in his life. As these people who had no other family in the world welcomed him as family. He describes his moment of conversion this way. Even incarcerated, when I should have been my most humble, I still held on to my vanity. When I should have been trying to change, I held on so dear to the image of myself that I had made. Although I had publicly acknowledged the wrong I had done, I had never taken an objective look at the person I had become. Finally, in a sanctuary of outcasts, I understood the truth. Surrounded by men and women who could not hide their disfigurement, I could see my own. And throughout the rest of his memoir, he details the conversations and the life that he began to build with the residents of this home. He said that he found in them the most accepting people he had ever met anywhere. People who were not concerned about the mistakes he had made, who weren't looking for anything that he had to offer. It was there in a sanctuary of outcasts, he said, that he finally found a place to belong. You know, I think that part of Neil's entire life was trying to find a place that he belonged. And he tried to find it through fame and fortune and prestige, and he couldn't find it there. And when it came crashing down, he found it in an unlikely place, a sanctuary of people who had been cast out by society, but found a place to belong with each other. I think all of us want to find a place to belong. I think it's part of the human condition. All of us are made by a God who has made us for community, and so we all want to find a place to belong. And a lot of our life is spent moving from one place of belonging to the next. We belong to our family until we rebel and want to leave home. Maybe we go to college and we try to find a place to belong there. We join a fraternity, a sorority, a tribe or social club, a athletic group, or some sort of extracurricular activity, or just a group of people that like to play video games in the dorm. We just want to find a place to belong. We might graduate and go to our first career, and we try to find a place to belong there, whether it's a business association or Rotary or Chamber of Commerce. We try to find a place where we can figure out life together. We all want to belong. Here in the South, many of us in that journey find or include church as a place where we hope to find belonging. And so belonging is deeply within us. And finding a place and a people to whom we belong is something that all of us deep down strive for. And it's why I think in 1 Peter, we find some words from the Apostle Peter to us, to the church, to those who desire to find belonging. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he writes these words. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter highlights three things here that he calls the church: a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Now, what's important for us to understand is that Peter is writing to a group of people from lots of different cultures, lots of different ethnicities, lots of different countries, people who grew up Jewish and people who hadn't, people who grew up worshiping the gods of Rome and Greece and people who didn't. When he says you are a chosen people, he wants us to understand that this is more than just national identity or ethnic origin. That God has made you and chosen you, and you belong to God. Now, churches, Peter thinks, are going to live this out, that we're going to embody what it means to find a place of belonging. But I've noticed there are two different ways that churches kind of organize themselves. The first way might be we might think of it as this. We want to find people that believe like we believe, that behave like we behave, so that we will belong to a group that we want to belong to. And now for generations in church growth in America, this worked fine. If you moved to a new city, you just went to the church that was the denomination that you already belonged to, because you already knew what they believed, and that's what you believed, and so you just went there. And all you really need to figure out is how you are supposed to behave. Is this the kind of church where people wear suits and ties, or people wear casual clothes? Is this the kind of church where ladies wear hats? No? Okay, no hats out there. Is this the kind of church where if a man wore a hat inside, it'd get knocked off his head, right? How does our church behave? We know what you believe. We've seen the sign out front. But we want to know what it means to behave. And so if you come and you believe what we believe and you begin to behave how we behave, over time, if we let you, you'll belong. Right? Now hear me. Hear me on this. I grew up in a church like this. Because I grew up in a church, in a city, in a time where everybody went to church. Or at least everybody said they did. And all of us knew what we believed and we knew how to behave. And somewhere along the way, we found out that we belonged. But more and more religious observers are noting today that what has first impacted other parts of the country has begun to impact even us here deep into the Bible Belt, which is that people still want to find a place to belong, but they're looking for places other than church to find that belonging. People no longer just go to the church because of denominational affiliation. They look for something more. If they look at all, they want to find a place where they belong deeply, a place where they are valued, a place where they can share life together, a place where they can see other people struggling with what they're struggling with, a place where they can see other people transformed after going through what they went through. But often people report that churches are unfriendly or standoffish. Or just confusing places. Where do I park? What door do I go into? How do I know I'm not about to open the door to the pastor's office? What do I do with my kids? How long is that guy up there going to talk? You know what? Why don't we go to brunch instead? Now again, we can get mad at people. Or maybe we could reverse it. And instead of hoping people will find us because they believe what we believe and end up behaving like we want them to behave and then somewhere along the line finding out they belong, what if we started with belonging? What if we focused our attention on how do we make people know deeply that they belong here? What would we have to do? How would we have to behave? What would we need to change in our mindset? Because if we can truly show people that they belong here and that they are important to God, if we can truly organize our way of life around the idea that there's someone who came here this morning for the very first time seeking for belonging, and that that was enough to get him in the door and praise God, what can we do? How might we change? Now, don't get me wrong, believing and behaving are important. I'm suggesting that we just do things a little bit more naturally, which is we just behave like we behave and let people pick up on our behavior without making it a prerequisite to belonging. And you might ask yourself, now, well, then how am I supposed to behave? Well, the good news is I've been telling you how to do it for the past 3 weeks. Those three words we've been practicing have not just been for fun. They've been leading up to the fact that we're supposed to behave like this. I love you. I'm sorry. I forgive you. What if we behaved like loving, confessing, forgiving people? If everyone who walked through the door or everyone we met in our community, we embodied love. If we spoke truth to say, I'm glad you're here, I have messed up this week and I needed some help. I'm sorry. And what if people came and heard us over and over say, I forgive you, and confess that God's mercy has forgiven us as well? What if we just lived like those things were true so that people could see in our behavior something compelling? You already belong. God has brought you here. See how we worship. See how we sing. See how we love. See how we forgive. See how we speak truth and confession, and yet depend upon the mercy of God in all that we do. I imagine that if a person felt that they belonged and saw how we behaved, over time, they would come to believe what we believe. Because, you know, friends, some way, at some point in time, when a person finds a place, a church, a community where they belong, where they honestly feel welcome and honestly feel like we were expecting them to show up, when they come over and over, when they begin to see in us living authentic lives of loving relationships, when they get to that point and they ask us, when they ask us, why do you treat me with so much kindness and love, so much mercy and forgiveness? Why do you treat me like this? That's our moment when we get to point to Jesus and say, because he treated me that same way. That's the power of helping people find that they belong. That's the power when we behave like we're supposed to, that it draws other people to belief in the God that Jesus called Father. And just in case you wonder where I'm getting this, it's back to 1 Peter. When he says you are a chosen people, he means you belong already. God has chosen you. And the reason I know that is because God made you. God called you child and has chosen to love you. You already belong. You don't have to do anything to earn his love, do anything to earn his forgiveness, do anything to prove that you're worthy of it. You belong here because God said it's true. You're chosen. Second, you're called to be royal priests. Did you know that? All of you are priests. Royal even. Meaning you're called to behave. But I've already told you how to behave. loving, truth-telling, forgiving, merciful, kind. And in all these ways, we live out what God wants us to be more than anything else, a holy nation, a people who believe that God and His promises can be trusted. You belong here. We all belong here. Because once, Peter says, we were nobodies, but now we are God's body. Once we were without mercy, now we have God's mercy. Each one of us may be wondering, do I belong here? And the truth is, you belong here more than anyone else, because God is here, and God has called you here. And so now God asks you to do something else, to go and live like it's true, to go and be loving, to go and speak words of confession, to go and say, I forgive you, and to go and tell people you belong here. And if you do that, if you believe and behave like everyone else belongs, you'll find out that deep truth that Neil did in that sanctuary, that God has planned this for you all along. And He's so glad you're home. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this time, we are grateful that You've called us here. A place where we belong, not because of what we have done or what we haven't done, but a place that we belong because You're here and You've called us to be Your people. And so help us to be a church where we make space for others to belong. And help them find us not because we're perfect, but because Your perfect love has covered all of our sins. And so God, as we come to this time now, this is a time of our dedication to You. Because we love You. And we know that You love us. Because we come saying that we are sorry for all of our mistakes. And we're grateful that before You even let us finish the sentence, You give us mercy. We're grateful that in You we find forgiveness, and we pray, Father, that You would help us to be that forgiving to others. Lord, we are grateful that You've called us to belong here. Not just in this building, but we belong to this people. Help us to make space for others. Help us to call to others. And help us to live in such a way that others are drawn to You. All this we ask. And the One who walks in the way that leads us all to life, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Dear friends, as we go from this place, remember the words of God. I love You before You even knew me. I am sorry for all the hurts that You've lived through. I forgive You of all Your mistakes. And don't ever forget You belong here with me. Having heard those words, God asks you now to go forth and tell the world, I love You. I'm sorry. I forgive You. And You belong here. Go in peace. to love and serve that Lord. Amen.